This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Stephen Rice of New Hope, East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled A Childlike Faith, was delivered on February 20th, 2022. Here now is Pastor Stephen.
Thank you. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I can't tell you how much I love being here speaking to you today. Because my church, Word of God, was closed because of COVID, and we haven't had in-person service for almost 2 years. So I have given, I figured it out last night, 102 Sunday services online.
Wow.
So I'm hoping that the cases continue to go down, the restrictions start to lift, and maybe we can find a new place. Or we'll just listen to the Lord. So today, we're going to be talking about a childlike faith. In Mark 10:15, it says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So what does he mean, like a child? And I kind of wanted to share with you some stories of a boy that I know, and I've known him since he was 3 months old. His name is Jordan. He was born in the year 2000, so he's 21 right now. He's at the college. He's a junior. We remained close after all those years. My wife babysat him up to the age of 3, then he went to preschool, but we stayed close, and we would always be available to like pick him up or drop him off and spend time with him on the weekends and stuff. And so the first thing I want to have you take a look at it, your notes, is Jesus is our superhero. So I was driving with Jordan one morning, and he started talking about all these Batman and Superman and the Hulk and the Avengers and the Lantern, Green Lantern, and so he's going on and on and on. So I asked him, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite? And he thought about it, and he said, Jesus.
Yeah.
And I can tell you I was pleasantly surprised when he said that. So I said, why? And he says, because Jesus rules the universe. He's more powerful than any superhero. And he defeated Satan. And that was key for this little kid to tell me that. He couldn't have been 7 years old at that time. That he really got it. He really understood who Jesus was. And I was very surprised. And we continued to talk. And I said, you know, that's really good. And he goes, yeah, and because all those other superheroes, they're fake. Jesus is real. And it just did my heart so good to hear him understand what Christianity and our relationship with Jesus is all about. So we started talking about just other things and everything, and he was telling me about their superpowers. You know, Superman can fly, the Hulk is so strong, and all this and that and this and that. And so I want to share with you 4 of the superpowers that Jesus has. So number one in your bulletin, it should have a blank. Jesus is our Savior.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus is our Savior. So superheroes can swoop in and save your life or protect you from the bad guy, but Jesus can save you from your sins. Number two, Jesus is our baptizer. So superheroes can help you, but Jesus can wash away all of your sins. Everything that has ever caused you to stumble, Jesus can wash that away. Number three, Jesus is our healer. Sure, superheroes can help us fight against evil people and that would hurt us, but Jesus can miraculously heal our bodies, miraculously heal our souls, our spirits. And then number four, Jesus is our coming king. Superheroes may be, you know, Gotham, run the city, protect the city, you know, protect the country like Superman does in so many of his movies. But Jesus rules the universe. He rules everything. Our planet, if there's any other intelligent life out there, Jesus is in control of them too. He is their God too. So James 4:7 says this, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And this is important because what Jordan was talking about is he can defeat evil. He can defeat Satan. And we can too. You know, we who are believers, who trust in the Lord, and we have His name that we can speak out and control Satan. We are tempted sometimes, and we just need to get to our knees and pray. And it's better if you pray out loud, because Satan cannot read your mind. But if you command him to leave the situation, he must. I went to a house one time to do a blessing. One of the little daughters was having all of these nightmares, and the parents didn't understand. They had never had the house blessed and everything. So I went in, and I had my olive oil. So I went to the different doors, and I put the sign of the cross with olive oil above them. And then we prayed, and I commanded any evil spirits in the house to be gone, to leave immediately. And it's not Scott or I that need to do that. You can do that to your own home. You can, as a Christian, as part of the Christian family, you have the power to invoke the power of Jesus Christ's name. And I remember when I was leaving the house that day, the little girl came up to me. She couldn't have been 8 or 9. And she said, "Can I have that?" And I said, "What's that?" She goes, "That oil." I had a little bottle of oil. And I said, "Sure." And I gave it to her. Of course, the other children was like, "Can I have one? Can I have one?" I was like, "No, I only had one. Sorry." But it's so important that we realize that we have that superpower from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, to affect demons and Satan and command them to stop, command them to be gone. When you pray, pray out loud, so Satan will definitely hear you. Number two, dinosaurs in heaven. There was a time when Jordan was into all kinds of dinosaurs. He had all kinds of toy dinosaurs. He watched, what is that movie with Littlefoot? I don't know. It's a video. He watched that all the time. He had the PBS series, Walking with Dinosaurs. He had all of them, and he knew all of their names, which to me, I would have a hard time remembering their names, but he would just, you know, this is that, and this is that, and this is that. And so one day, it was after his birthday, and he had all these toys, and we were sitting down, and I was playing with him, and he was just learning his letters and words. And so he picked up a dinosaur, and he looked at it, and he said, "Uncle Steve, what does that say?" And I said, "Oh, it says made in China." "Oh," he said. Then he picks up another one. "What does that say?" I said, "It says made in China." "Huh." So he went to another toy that wasn't from those dinosaur toys and picked it up and brought it to me and said, "What does that say?" I said, "It says made in China." And he goes, "Huh." And I said, "Jordan, a lot of toys are made in China. Is Santa Claus Chinese?" I tell you, that kid, smart, thinking, right? And I just want to say that, you know, when we look at our lives and we see what's going on in the world and everything, we always can go back to the scriptures. That's what it says. It says in the scriptures that we are saved if we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe that he is our Lord and Savior. Heaven is something that I think, and there's a blank in your bulletin. Heaven is not what we think. Jordan asked me one day, he said, "Are there dinosaurs in heaven?" And I said, "No, I don't think so." And I thought maybe he might be disappointed. He says, "Oh, good." Like he was relieved that there weren't dinosaurs in heaven, right? Right? So Revelations 21, verses 1 through 4 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Now, I don't know what heaven is going to look like exactly, but when I read the scriptures, I know that's where I want to go. When Jesus said to the thief on the cross next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise. You know, when I was growing up, I was thinking, you know, well, we would be sitting on a cloud playing a harp, right? Because that's what we were, you know, pictures we were shown and stuff. it's going to be so much more than we can possibly imagine. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. And I can't wait to get there. Amen?
Amen.
So number three, Santa. So Santa gives gifts. And Jordan was talking about those things that happened, you know, all the toys that he got from China. And Santa is like, what do we see when we see Santa? We see a fake person. We see somebody who was made up, mostly by Coca-Cola, by the way.
Yeah.
But he is someone who gives us gifts. Once a year, we get gifts. But all the gifts that we have are from God, right? Our homes, our cars, our jobs, our families, our friends, everything that you and I have is from God. Our very lives are from Jesus. He thought about us before the foundation of the earth, of the world, of the universe. And we need to be appreciative of what God has done for us. And when we think of our lives as like that, that everything that we have, God has given us, it's so easy to be generous because our God has been so generous to each and every one of us. Sometimes in this commercial world, we get caught up and we want to have the latest iPhone, we want to have a new car, we want to have a better house, we want to remodel the kitchen, we want to do all of these things, and that's fine if you have the money, but you don't want to put your heart and soul into those things. You want to put your heart and soul into one another, into relationships with people, to love God and love people. And that's the total package right there, loving God and loving people. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Jesus is giving us gifts every single day, every single minute, every new relationship, every time we say to somebody, I love you, every time we say, can I help you? Can I do something for you? Every time we give something to someone in thinking, I need to give this person something because God has given me so much. Number four, you are old, but I'm new. So one day, Jordan and I were coming back from McDonald's, and he was about maybe about eight at that time, and we were on Kinoli Street, and there was this big building coming up, and there's all kinds of construction guys there with the, you know, the bright orange shirts, and there's construction equipment, and there's a cement truck, and he looks over there, and we're kind of stopped at the red light waiting, and he says, Uncle, what are they doing over there? What are they building? I said, oh, they're building a retirement home. A retirement home, what's that? And I said, well, that's where old people go when they can no longer like take care of themselves, or when they, you know, retire and, you know, they sell their house, they go into a retirement home. And he goes, huh. So it's like for you, Uncle. And I said, yeah, not yet. Someday, but not yet, right? And, you know, I tell him that the Lord has been so good to us in giving us gifts and everything. And so he says to me, he says, Uncle, you're old, but I'm new. He didn't say young, he said new. And it surprised me. And when we think of our relationship with God and how much he has given us and how much he has done for us, we need to remember that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are new creations in Jesus Christ. The blank there is new creations in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are changed. We are changed for all eternity. And we are washed in the blood of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And at that time, we are new creations in Christ. And what we do then is we have to be part of the family. We have to love one another. We have to love the Lord. And moreover, we need to show people that we are part of the family of Jesus Christ, that he is our Lord and Savior. And then speaking of gifts, it's so important to remember that Well, when I got saved when I was 32, and it was a traumatic change for me, because I was kind of a punk. No, I really was a punk. And I was a heavy drinker, I smoked cigarettes, and I had a filthy mouth, and my life changed completely. One day, about a month later, my mom loves to tell the story where my father asked her, "What happened to Stephen? He's so different." And it's because I am a new creation. And it's good to remember that every single sin that we commit, that I committed up to that point at 32, right, was washed in the blood, gone. Every sin that I've committed since I was 32, washed away. God took it away. Every sin I'm going to commit until the day that I die or get raptured is washed in the blood. Everything that we have done sinful, God has washed it away. Now, that doesn't mean that we have the freedom to just go and sin and do whatever we want. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to remember, love God, love people. And if you do that, you will have far, far fewer stumbles and sins. Number five, life is supposed to be fair. I picked up Jordan from high school one day, and he was upset. He was really upset. And I was like, "What's the matter with you?" And he goes, "Oh, Uncle, I didn't make the team." And I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, yeah." He wanted to be on a team. He wanted to be on the judo team. And the thing was, is he was already involved big time with his mother in Kanjikembo. And since then, I mean, he's 21 now, but he is a black belt now. So he has gone far. But at that time, he wanted to be on a team. He wanted to do things with other people. And he kept saying over and over and over again, "It's not fair. It's not fair." And I told him, "Jordan, life is not fair. It never has been fair. We live in a fallen world. We have to remember that. So bad things can happen to good people. Bad things can happen to Christians. Bad things can happen just because life." You know, I lost a dear friend a couple of months ago to COVID, Jeannie Tomiyoshi. And I've known Scott for 20 years. I know Jeannie for 30 years. And it's something that I really had to struggle with, because I really, really was wondering, "Lord, what are you doing? Why are you taking this lady away from us? She's such a force for Christianity." And it was just at that time, she had to go. Her number was up, as they say. God was calling. She's in heaven. And I can't wait to see her. But we live in this fallen world. And if we look at 1 Corinthians 15:21, it says, "For death came through a man, and resurrection of the dead will also come through a man. As for in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive." So Jesus breathes new life into us. We have start all over again when we are saved. And we are committed to spreading the gospel, telling the good news to people. So let's take a look at Adam and Eve and original sin. And that's a blank in your notes too. Maybe I might want to call up the worship team at this time. So I remember I was watching a travel show, and the guy on the travel show was in some foreign country, and the host that was hosting him at the time said, "Hey, you know, why don't you try some of these? These are some of this country's delicacies." So he looked at one and he said, "What is that?" And he says, "Oh, it's a chocolate-covered scorpion." And the guy said, "No, I don't think so. It's too big." And he says, "Oh, okay, well, we have these littler ones over here." So he gives him the little one. And so he looked at it and he thought, "Well, I can't be that rude, right? It's small, I can bite it, I can chomp and swallow it, or just swallow it whole." He puts it in his mouth and he said, the guy says, "That one's a cockroach." Needless to say, he spit it out, right? Okay, so when Adam and Eve fell and they ate the forbidden fruit, that's the original sin, right? And we can say, like Jordan said, "It's not fair. Why am I born into a world that is fallen because of what Adam and Eve did? Huh? Come on, I don't need to be, right?" But everything that we have is inherited from our parents, right? No matter how hard I wanted to be Filipino when I was young, because all my friends were Filipinos, and because I had to wear a hat when we lived in Waianae, because my head would get sunburned because I had a crew cut. My friends didn't have to wear hats. Why do I have to wear hats? And so I asked my mom, when can I be Filipino? And she said, never, never, right? And the thing is, we inherit these things just like we inherited sin from Adam and Eve. So don't eat the chocolate-covered cockroaches means, right, it may look good on the outside. She was looking at the apple or the whatever fruit was in the garden at that time. Adam and Eve were looking at it, and she said, wow. The Bible actually says she looked at it, and it looked good to eat. So she bit it, and then she gave some to Adam. And that was the first original sin, right? The unforgivable sin, some people say, right? But it's not. The unforgivable sin is in Matthew 12, 31, 32. So I tell you, every kind of sin and slander will be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. What does that mean? Okay, so the original sin is passed on to us, and no matter what we do before we're a Christian, doesn't make any difference to God because we're not doing it as a Christian. We're not doing it for the kingdom of God. We're doing it for motives, maybe for ourselves, because we want to be liked, we be nice to people because they're our children, we love them, but we're not doing it because we want the kingdom of God to grow, because we want to show our love of Jesus Christ. So our motives have to be very important part of our actions. So what is the unforgivable sin? The unforgivable sin is unbelief. It says when you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you have that original sin on you. And it won't go away, along with all your other sins, unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I just want to say today, if there's just one thing that you take from this sermon, is remember that Jesus is our superhero, right? He has defeated original sin. He has defeated the unforgivable sin, which is not believing in him, right? Jesus is our Savior, our Lord, our superhero. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving us, for being a very true superhero. Your love has saved us for all eternity. Help us to be new creatures in Christ that are forgiving, and we are so grateful that we are so blessed by you that we are generous to one another. Thank you, Lord, for watching over the people of this church and this county and this state, Lord, as the declining COVID cases are going down, down, down. We need to put our trust in you, Lord. Like a child puts a trust in his father, we have that childlike faith that we put our trust in you, Lord, that you will do away with this awful COVID disease. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Would you thank Pastor Steve?
I want to thank Pastor Stadia. Thank you very much.
You wanted to be Filipino, I wanted to be tall. Sorry, but something's just not going to happen. Okay? But we can all make Jesus our superhero. Amen? Would you all stand? We're going to sing, shout, dance.
You've been listening to Pastor Stephen Rice of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keao, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.